Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Newbury Baptist Church on this Pentecost Sunday. If you're still looking for Izzy, come in and find one. Great to have you here this morning. It being Pentecost Sunday, there are some special events on, and there is a joint churches service in Victoria Park at 1 o'clock. So if you want to join with others there at the bandstand at one, be great to see you. When you go out into the welcome area after the service, have a look at the new drawings of the new building. These are the kind of things we've not seen before. So it includes artist visualizations inside as to what it will look like. For people like me who are not brilliant at plans, it suddenly brings it alive. Do go and have a look at those. You can also find them on the church website, where you can take your time to look at them, even download them if you want to. So just look along the top of the church website to the tab that says NBC Redevelopment, and you can have a look there. But have a look perhaps over your coffee this morning and see what you think. Had a great evening on Thursday with people coming from the local area to have a look at them, in particular town and district council. A lot of good conversations going on there. It's sad on a joyful day like Pentecost to bring you some sad news, but I need to this morning. Viv Moon, who was our longest serving church member, died in the early hours of Thursday morning. So do please remember the family that she leaves behind. In fact, let's stop and pray just now. Father, we thank you for Viv and for her life of testimony and witness and service. And Father, we pray now particularly for those whom she leaves behind. Make your presence known to them, we pray. Amen. Let's stand up and sing a great Pentecost hymn together. O thou who camest from above. Let's remain standing as we pray. Father, we pray indeed that you would kindle that flame of love in each one of us. Father, where the fire is almost out, where the flame burns low, where we forget you so readily in the things that we say or think. We ask that by your Spirit you might come again and that you might stir up a spirit of praise within each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Come and have a look and see what's in this box today. Well, I say that, come on out. I've got Newbury Baptist Church inside here, but I'm not going to open it just yet. All right, I will open it, but I'm not going to open it just yet because I need some other helpers up here first. Come on up here. Oh, look, they're coming from near and far. Brilliant. Now, we will have a look in there in a minute, but I need to get some other people up here first. So, if you're helping with the music this morning, come and sit with us. Come on. Anybody who's helping with the music, come and join us. If you helped with the sound system this morning, come and join us. If you helped with the projector this morning, come and join us. If you unlocked the building this morning, come and join us. Brilliant. If you were on the door this morning, come and join us. Who was on Out You Come? Brilliant. If you're helping with creche this morning, come and join us. If you're helping with Chatterbox this morning, come and join us. If you're helping with teas and coffees this morning, come and join us. If you're helping with communion, come and join us. Emergency communion. Excellent. Brilliant. Look at all these people. How you come, Renata? Renata helped get it all ready this morning. Now, you think Sunday is one day out of seven. And look how many people are here just to make a Sunday happen. Now, do you want to have a look in here at Newbury Baptist Church? Lots of little people, look. Lots of little people. Now, it takes lots of little people to make the church happen, but I need to say sorry to the church this morning. I need to say sorry because I'm afraid I've made the church a bit busier. In the past couple of years, instead of being busy on a Sunday, we're busy on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and quite often Saturday. So if you think it's this many people to make a Sunday happen, what if we start doing something on a Wednesday afternoon, or a Thursday evening, or a Friday morning? Can need lots more people, aren't we? So, some of you saw it and probably skirted round it on the way in. There's a little board by the office door. Could you please, if you wouldn't mind, just put on there when you're usually available? It doesn't mean you're committed to anything. But it means if Patricia's trying to find me someone to help with something, instead of going right the way through the members list, she might say, well, I won't ask him because he's not available in a weekday, or I will ask them because they've said they're available at weekends. Doesn't mean you have to say yes, but it means she's got somewhere to start looking. Because look, actually, my box isn't very full up, is it? If I wanted to do a whole church, I'd need a few more, don't you think? I don't know what Hagrid's doing in there, by the way, but that's another story. Look, the church is a bunch of people like us, with the Holy Spirit to help us, making stuff happen. But if we need this big a bunch for a Sunday, we need a much bigger one for the whole week. So please, tell us on your way home, scribble something on the board. Doesn't mean we're going to come down on you like a ton of bricks, but it does mean we might know where to start when we're looking for some help. Okay, we're going to sing, I think. What are we going to sing? Ashley, if we just put these I just want to tell you something about this song. This song is called Build Your Kingdom Here, and I've only recently learnt it. And when I learnt it, I was preaching at the induction of a friend whose induction I had preached at 20 years before. Goodness, I do feel ancient. And during that time, he'd served in the church, he'd stepped out of the ministry, he'd lost the job he was in, he'd kind of gone through the wilderness. And then he came back and God called him to lead a church again. And to see him standing at the front of his new congregation singing this song just reminded me how the kingdom works. It works through people who get broken and fixed and God uses them. That's the kind of kingdom I want to be part of. Let's sing it together. Thank you.
Come set your rule and reign in our hearts again. Increase in us, we pray. Unveil why we're made. Come set our hearts ablaze with hope, like wildfire in our very souls. Holy Spirit, come invade us now. We are your church. We need your power in us. We seek your kingdom first. We hunger and we thirst. We refuse to waste our lives, for you're our joy and prize. To see the captive's hearts released, the hurt, the sick, the poor at peace. We lay down our lives for heaven's cause. We are your church. We pray revive this earth. Oh, build your kingdom here. Let the darkness fear. Show your mighty hand. Heal our streets. Set your church on. Jesus' power. We chain the near and far. No force of hell can stop your beauty changing hearts. You made us for much more than this. Awake the kingdom, see in us. Fill us with the strength and love of Christ. We are your church. We are the hope on earth. Build your kingdom here. Let the darkness fear. Show your mighty hand. Heal our streets. Church on fire, win this nation back, change the atmosphere, build your kingdom here, we pray.
Do please sit down. Perhaps those who are going out to the different groups would like to make their way there now.
So before we continue with our next song, just want to read to you a few words. And I found this morning, and it was the words from the Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby, and the Church of England are coming to the end of a prayer campaign called Thy Kingdom Come. And it culminates in today with the Day of Pentecost. And I just thought these words were really good and a good reminder of who the Holy Spirit is, what he does, and as an individual and as a community, as a church, why we need him. And this is what he said on his blog. Pentecost is a celebration of God with us, not in one place, time, or in one individual, but in every place and time and in every individual who asks. This day is often referred to as the birthday of the church, and it is on this day nearly 2,000 years ago that the first disciples were filled with the Spirit, the breath of God. And this breath has been filling the church ever since, every day. God's Spirit comes to us to be Jesus to us, in us and through us. Clearly, God doesn't perform some kind of escape for us out of hardship, but the Holy Spirit makes all the difference to us in the middle of what we are occupied with. The Spirit makes real for us, each of us, the reality of the love of God in Jesus. It's a love which doesn't just forgive and restore us, which doesn't just invest us with a value and worth beyond our comprehension, but a love which turns us towards others to truly love them. I just thought that was really excellent as it kind of captured and summarised just some of what the Holy Spirit is and what he does. That reminder that the Holy Spirit is God tangibly with us, individually, corporately, and as a church. The Holy Spirit is the power for us to go and to share the good news with others, and it's that reality of love, the love of God in our lives. And it allows us to then love others in a way that we can't. So I certainly need the Holy Spirit, and hope that you do too. And so this next song is a prayer and asking to be filled once again with the Spirit of that living God. At the end of this, please do stand. There's going to be a bit of response
remain
time.
Still, yeah.
Remain standing.
Yeah.
There's going to be a bit of response that Richard would lead. So let's sing Spirit of the Living God, asking once again for the power and the presence of God in our lives. Let's stand.
Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. On me, feel.
We're going to use together a responsive reading called the Litany of the Spirit. And I'll say the words in the plain type, and Nelman will respond with the words in the bold type. Thank you, Roger. Warm breath of God, melting touch of God, healing hand of God, creative love of God, come upon us. Life-loving Spirit, breath of the universe, craftsman of the heavens, star-kindling Spirit, come upon us. Painter of rainbows, craftsman of trees, artist of flowers, midwife of creatures, come upon us. Light of our lives, supporter in our trials, strength in weakness, consolation in grief, come upon us. Healer of wounds, renewer of strength, quencher of thirst, shelter in storms, come upon us. Safe sheltering of God, strong guarding of God, soft enfolding of God, liberating challenge of God, come upon us. Wellspring of life, fresh spring of renewal, clear stream of refreshment, wide ocean of love, come upon us, we pray. Do please be seated. Ben's going to read to us, thank you.
The reading today is from Acts 1, verses 12, through to Acts 2, verse 4. It should be on page 148 of the New Testament in the Bibles in your chairs. Then the apostles went back to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, which is about a kilometre away from the city. They entered the city and went up to the room where they were staying. Peter, John, James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon the Patriot and Judas, son of James. They gathered frequently to pray as a group, together with the women and with Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. A few days later, there was a meeting of the believers, about 120 in all, and Peter stood up to speak. My fellow believers, he said, the scripture had come true, in which the Holy Spirit, speaking through David, made a prediction about Judas, who was the guide for those who arrested Jesus. Judas was a member of our group, for he had been chosen to have a part in our work. With the money that Judas got for his evil act, he bought a field where he fell to his death. He burst open and all his bowels split out. All the people living in Jerusalem heard about it, and so in their own language, they call that field Akeldama, which means field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, may his house become empty, may no one live in it. It is also written, may someone else take his place of service. So then, someone must join us as a witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. He must be one of the men who were in our group during the whole time that Lord Jesus traveled about with us, beginning from the time John preached his message of baptism until the day Jesus was taken up from us to heaven. So they proposed two men, Joseph, who was called Barsabbas, also known as Justus, and Matthias. Then they prayed. Lord, you know the thoughts of everyone, so show us which of these two you have chosen to serve as an apostle in the place of Judas, who left to go to the place where he belongs. Then they drew lots to choose between the two men, and the one chosen was Matthias, who was added to the group of 11 apostles. When the day of Pentecost came, all the believers were gathered together in one place. Suddenly, there was a noise from the sky, which sounded like a strong wind blowing, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then they saw what looked like tongues of fire, which spread out and touched each person there. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to talk in other languages as the Spirit enabled them to speak.
So was that it then? dream over? Had God in fact banished the darkness just for a moment, like a match struck briefly, then burning down to the fingers of the disciples and now dropped unceremoniously on the ground? Was that it then? Dream over? Had God in fact just whispered for a moment with the voice of Jesus, and now the world would return to further ages of silence from heaven? Was that it then? Dream over? Had God opened the windows of heaven just for a moment, and now they must return to the stultifying, stale air of museum spirituality, locked up and preserved for all time? Maybe they'd been foolish to believe all this. Maybe they'd been impatient and should have hung on for a proper Messiah. Maybe they'd been, after all, the fools their families and friends believed them to be. Shut away in an upper room, so unlike the one they had shared with Jesus before, they watched and prayed and waited. Shifting, uncomfortable in one another's enforced company, they watched and prayed and waited and did what humans do. They got organized. It was a little block of normality to staunch the strangeness flowing all around about them. With Judas gone, Peter, the foolishly talkative one, stood up, rallied them round, and suggested that they hold an election of sorts. Matthias returned unopposed. Justus lost his deposit. They watched and prayed and waited. Complete in numbers now, but incomplete in themselves, fearful, battered, and anxious. Was that it then? Dream over. When it came, it took them all by surprise. The noise of the Pentecost crowds outside had wound the knot of fear in their stomachs even tighter, and still they were watching and praying and waiting, and suddenly the stale, fetid air in their room was stirred up as if God had thrown a window open somewhere. Suddenly, the noise of the crowd was drowned out as the walls and lintels shook and thrummed to the buffeting of this mighty wind. Suddenly, the light was back, a match struck by an unseen hand and lingering over the head of each one of them. Its light played on every face, flickering and dancing, making them look newly animated, even in this gloomy place. And then, well, not all hell broke loose, all heaven broke loose. And things started happening. As the spiritual descendants of those fearful few this Pentecost day, we have to note that simply waiting brought nothing. Simply waiting and getting organized brought nothing. It was only waiting and praying which brought the result for which they longed and hoped and ached. They all joined together, verse 14, constantly in prayer. Those of you who long for a revolution in Newbury Baptist Church must surely long for an unrecognizable change in our prayer life as well. Because that's where the revolution comes from. I.H. Marshall, who wrote a very famous History of the Early Church, comments on this particular passage and says it was only an attitude of, quote, continuous and united prayer that brought these changes about. And those changes, when they came, brought both courage and capacity to this group of frightened people. Remember for a minute all the ups and downs they'd been through. You know, the crowds loving Jesus and the authorities hating him. Peter, the strong one, falling apart and mumbling nonsense and running away. That gloomy memorial meal with Jesus where he talked about dying and being broken when he wasn't even dead yet. The promises that he would never ever leave them, and then being taken away from their sight, and then the arrest, and then the execution, and then the resurrection, and then, well, now what? And then he was gone. You know, to go through all of that, to go up and down through that roller coaster, and then to say, as they do in verse 22, we must be the witnesses of his resurrection. To go through all of those ups and downs and then say, we will take it upon ourselves to ensure that the last words of history etched over the life of Jesus Christ are not dead and buried. That took enormous courage. And it still does. To say God is alive when the world says he's dead. To say God sheds light when the world around can only see darkness. To say there is hope when the world sees only gloom. To trust in his invisible power when many people mock the lack of his visible presence. To do all of those things either takes spectacular folly or a deep, deep kind of courage. When God calls you to show courage, my best advice to you is to get on and do it. Right then. Right that second. Don't give yourself any time to overthink it or rethink it or put it off. You remember that moment when God comes and asks Abraham to do this crazy, terrible thing and to hand over his son Isaac? You know, the child of the promise. And God says, I want you to give him back. And it says, early the next morning, he got up. Didn't give himself time to rethink it and backpedal. Early the next morning, he got up. Or Nehemiah, the very beginning of his story, when he hears all this stuff going on in his hometown. He hears what's happened to the city of Jerusalem. And right then, that second, in the throne room, he prays to God and he talks to the emperor. Right there and then. You know, if we go a little bit further on into Acts chapter 2, so all this stuff has happened, you know, they've had the election, the Holy Spirit has come, the flame of fire, the wind rattling the place. And then it says, verse 40, well, the most telling word actually is the first one. Then Peter stood up. No messing about, no delay. God had spoken, the Spirit had come, the promise was fulfilled, it was time to stop waiting and just to get on with it. Listen, friends, I don't believe any of us has courage in advance. You might not agree, but I don't believe we do. I don't believe any of us has courage in advance, like a jar of preserves you keep at the back of the larder and you can unscrew it and take it out when you need it. None of us has that in advance. We only discover that courage when God prompts us to do something which we would never have thought possible. When God prompts us to speak up or act out or to take a step forward or to drop something or to do something new for him, it's only at that moment that we discover that the courage that came rolling down on Pentecost Day still rolls out across every man and woman who loves the Lord Jesus Christ. Pentecost is a reminder that the Spirit of God gives us courage as never before. But you know, he also gives us capacity to do something. People have argued for the past 21 centuries about quite what happened after Ben's reading stopped. Well, not about Ben because they didn't know him, but at the end of that reading, of course, then there's all this stuff goes on with the speaking in different languages. And, you know, people say, well, what was going on there? Was it a miracle of hearing or a miracle of speaking? If you read it, different bits of it, you could see it different ways. It says, verse 4, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues. Well, that sounds like a miracle of speaking to me. Then again, verse 6, it says, when people in the crowd heard this sound, they were bewildered because each of them heard their own language being spoken. That sounds to me like a miracle of hearing. Which one was it? Well, maybe it doesn't matter. Let's call it a miracle of communication. And actually, that miracle of communication gets repeated again and again and again. Every time I stand up here, every time I preach anywhere where God might send me to do it, I am struck by the curious miracle that God can speak with extraordinary power through ordinary people. And when that happens, whether it's here or Spring Harvest or wherever it is, when that happens, is the miracle that people like me speak as if they were speaking for God, or is the miracle that people like you hear it as if you were hearing from God? Well, maybe it's both. Because the Spirit creates that capacity. The Spirit gives that capacity to the men and women who will stand up and be counted and say, I will serve you. And when they step beyond what they've ever done before, Peter was a fisherman. Peter was a fisherman, and he's in, you know, the epicenter of the universe as far as every Jew was concerned, and it's full to absolute bursting. There are tens of thousands of people there, more of that in a moment, and somebody has got to be brave enough to step up and explain what the heck is going on. And he stands up and he says, I'll tell you what this is. And with absolute brazen confidence, he refers to a prophecy 700 years before. He says, do you know what? This is what is happening right now. That takes a bit of doing, doesn't it? But you see, the Spirit of God gives the courage, but also gives the capacity. Pentecost was the Jewish harvest festival, effectively. You know, there's another festival that celebrated, you know, the first bit of the crop being cut. This was the celebration many weeks later when all the crop had come in. It was the fulfillment of all the promise. Jerusalem would have had literally tens of thousands of extra people thronging the streets. There could not have been a better marketing opportunity for the new gospel if you tried to think of it. It was the absolute key moment to do it. People all around the world in the city, right there on their doorstep. And so right there and right then, at that moment, God gave these people, these inexperienced people, the ability to seize the moment. They'd not had it before. They maybe didn't have it afterwards. But at that moment, when the opportunity presented itself, God gave them capacity far beyond their own to seize it and to make something of it. Now, did they go on speaking in foreign tongues without needing translators ever again? I suspect not. Has it ever happened in missionary situations where people have found themselves given miraculous ability to speak like foreign languages? Probably yes. But the point is this: when and where and how we need to be equipped, God will give it to us. Not in advance, but at the moment when it's needed. One of the odder experiences of the past few months has been to sit in the office of the chief exec of West Barks District Council, which is right up on the top floor. I suppose that gets to happen if you're the chief exec, doesn't it? You get the nice view, you know, and you're right up there looking right out across the town of Newbury. We've been discussing these plans of ours, and you know, and he says, possibly with the inklings of a grin round the edge of his mouth, do you really think you can afford it? Do you really think this is actually going to happen? And to say with absolute confidence, yeah, I do believe it's going to happen. And to say that not in one, but two different meetings with two slightly different people in the room, to say that is not arrogance and it's not self-delusion. It is born of a belief that God is still in the transformation business, and God gives us capacity whenever we need it to seize every opportunity that he gives us. Those who watch and pray and trust are given the courage, and they're also given the capacity when they need it. Not more than they need, and not after they needed it, and most of the time not before they needed it, but at the moment when it is needed. Like the manna descending with the early morning dew, just when Jewish tummies were rumbling. Like Peter, given the ability to defy gravity and all the laws of physics and walk across the water at the right time. Like every preacher or teacher who's ever stood up to speak on God's behalf, given his words when they needed them, not as a latent ability so that they could grow proud of it and hold it to themselves, but as a gift in that moment for those who needed it. And the same thing happens with many of the gifts of the Spirit. Prophecy is given as a God word at the moment that it's needed. It's not a skill, it's a gift every time it's given. Healing is given in response to great prayers of faith, but it doesn't make that person a healer. It makes it someone who was given that gift at that moment. Tongues is a gift as easily taken away as it was given at the moment that it is needed. These capabilities are dished out according to need and moment by our infinitely capable God. Why? So that the job of the church might get done, and so that the kingdom might be built. And so the Spirit comes on a group of depressingly ordinary people, and suddenly they find they've got courage, and suddenly they find a capacity to seize a moment which is way beyond them. I don't know if you've ever seen these things. They're called air dancers. Sometimes you see them outside garages. If it's really good fun, you see them at like a rugby or a football match, and you know, when your team scores, suddenly they inflate and they're, you know, several meters high. We're in a pneumatic church. It's only brought to life by the Spirit. It's flat without it. You could walk past these things and not notice them when the power's not turned on, because they're just like a heap of material on the ground, and then suddenly the team scores and the air whooshes in and there it is. We are brought alive by the Spirit of God. We're empowered by the Spirit of God, who gives us both the courage and the capacity to get the job done at the moment that it's needed. Yeah, there's been a lot of focus this week, and quite rightly so, on the D-Day commemorations. Most of those people would not be there for 100th commemoration, so they've done it on the 75th, and it's right that it's remembered. The biggest operation of its kind in the history of humankind. It's right that we remember it, but we probably ought to remember this too, that D-Day was only a beachhead. D-Day was just about getting the troops onto the beaches. There were months of hard fighting ahead all the way to Berlin. This was just about getting them on the beaches in the first place. Pentecost is the day that we were landed on the shore of the world in need, with capacity to do something about it. But the battle's not over yet. I took that picture years ago on Juno Beach. It's just next to a bit of the Mulberry Harbour. But the Mulberry Harbour and the landing was only the beginning. Months of hard work lay ahead to reach their goal. Pentecost got us onto the beach. But now we've got to go all the way through till his kingdom come. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit given as a gift to your people. We thank you that your Spirit gives us both courage and capacity to seize the moment that you give us. Father, help us to heed him in every respect, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Going to sing of the great invitation given by God that extends to all people. And I really like in this song, particularly in verse 2, just it encompasses everybody and every seasons and phases where people are at. Probably representative of people here this morning. And it's that invitation and one that we want to extend to others as well. So let's sing, Come People of the Risen King.
Come on. mountain shout, we hear them call. The truth that cries to every name, our God is all we know. Rejoice, rejoice, let every tongue rejoice. One heart, one voice, whole church of Christ, rejoice, rejoice.
Please sit down. Before we share this bread and wine together, can I just say that I was saying with the children earlier on, one of the places where we actually need some help is with this, to get this ready for everyone and then clear it away afterwards. We'd really appreciate some help with that. It's not complicated. It's not overly time-consuming either. But Kelvin, wave at me, Kelvin. We'll be up here afterwards. If you want to find out what's involved, come and ask him, because we could do with just two or three more helpers, please, just so that we cover the year. Be a shame, wouldn't it, not to be able to do this for lack of a practical job. So do come and speak to Kelvin up here afterwards if you're able to help with that. At this moment, we remember that last night of Jesus on the earth, when he sat around a table with his friends. And during the meal, he took some bread. He gave thanks and he broke it, saying to them, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this," he said, "to remember me." And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying to them, "This is the cup of the new covenant, sealed with my blood. Drink from it, all of you." Before we share the bread and wine, let's give thanks as he did. Father, for this indescribable sacrifice, for the depths of a love which thought of this before the world began, for all that a broken Christ has done to make us whole, we give you our thanks. Father, as we eat this bread and drink this wine, may it be a physical reminder to us of all the changes that he has wrought in us. And Father, please receive our thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take the bread and eat it as we receive it. Thank you. When you receive the cup, please hold on to it and then we'll drink together. Drink this knowing that the blood of Christ has set you free. And be thankful. Let's pray for our fellowship here at Newbury Baptist. And in the spaces and in the silences, just name to him those who are on your hearts. Father, for those in hospital and all who visit them, for those who are sick and all who care for them, for the lonely, for the grieving, for those who hunger for things to change, for the young as they face the challenges of school and college, for the person to the right of each of us right now. For the person to our left. That each of these precious ones might live for you in the power and the strength of the Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to take up our communion offering as we sing our closing hymn together. Oh, breath of life. Let's stand to sing. The blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit might be upon us all and all God's children throughout the whole world. Amen.